Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. I just looked at line one, and I am in. And I've said a lot of controversial things in my time in 21 years on talk radio, but I might be finally in trouble to the point that it gets me. We'll get into that momentarily. Right now, I remind you that this is Talk 99.5. Thank you for being with us. My name is Matt Murphy. I host the morning proceedings until about 10 o'clock. There is a brand new co-host on the way Monday, and we're taking wild guesses as to who that might be. 2 minutes after 7 o'clock, the big reveal comes right around 9 o'clock this morning. We're very excited about it. 545-9950, 545-9950, the Birmingham Broker phone lines. You're invited to be a part of the show. Anytime you give us is certainly appreciated. We appreciate Med Center Mazda. I was talking about to my brother who swung by through town. He was driving from Memphis to his home in Columbus, and he stopped by and he was asking me about my trip to Key West. And I was talking about the Miata, and I told him, I said, man, I'm telling you, I loved this car from start to finish. The compartment that you drive in, I mean, it's like you're in a kind of a race car but it was comfortable from start to finish. Now you have to be judicious about your luggage, but I'll tell you, this car is sporty and it is for the guy or the gal that wants to zoom about. If you want a great sports car at a low price, and it is one of the best selling sports cars ever in the United States of America. It's the MX-5. It's the Miata. You can find it at Med Center Mazda. Plus, they got the family vehicles, the CX-9, the CX-5. Go by and see Med Center Mazda. Good people. MedCenterMazda.com. That's MedCenterMazda.com. Tell them I sent you to Med Center Mazda on I-65 in Pelham. Speaking of good people, we couldn't find any, so we got Jason. No, just a joke. That's a joke.
I get
Jason,
it.
Jason, Claire, hey,
morning,
Matt.
Morning, John. Good to see you guys. And good morning, Sean Sweeney, the publisher of the Corn Free Press. Sean, you are so clever. And you'll see the headline here in a little bit, Matt. But one of the things is Chinese president, I can't pronounce his name, the Chinese president changes his Facebook status to in a relationship with U.S. President Joe Biden. Sean, you're so clever. That's just very funny. Good stuff, Sean. I'm not on Facebook, so I don't get it, but I guess you can. You have to say, are you single, married, or in a relationship?
Right,
maybe is the
right
option.
Yeah.
So he's now in a relationship. The president of China is now in a relationship with Joe Biden.
Well, and the inauguration of Joe Biden takes place in front of a massive crowd of ghosts of the people who voted for him. Yeah, that's good. Media mogul Valerie Vining viciously beats Bluff Park Mayor John Byrd in unprovoked attack. Mayor Byrd admitted to local hospital with life-threatening injuries. I have no idea what that is.
I don't know.
Oh, she hit you in the head yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah.
She did.
Sean Sweeney listening.
Well, that's funny. But I tell you, Sean, that is sort of a premonition to who I think I know who the next co-host is going to be. I have a very high confidence level because it all focuses around the word unity. Man, that's the word of the week, unity. And, of course, unity means you need to think like I think. That's unity. And then we'll be unified. We will be aligned.
I think this way. And if you would just think the way I do.
We will be unified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is it's all about you. I can see unity coming to the morning show on Talk 99.5. Mm-hmm. It involves not only people and ideologies, but geography. Geography. My sentimental favorite.
Yeah.
Sentimental favorite is Ms. Brenda.
Aw.
Ms. Brenda. That would be so sweet.
She called us this morning and just to check on us, and I hope she's well.
Yeah. That would be my sentimental favorite.
I don't think I'd get a word in edgewise.
Well,
I don't think I would get. There are a couple of people that if they co-hosted the show with me, I think I would be bested.
Our buddy, Gerald.
Gerald would talk circles around me. I love Gerald to death.
No, but I have a very high confidence level that the next co-host of the morning show on Talk 99.5 is the president of the Free State of Cornbread. And the two countries will unite and be one
Mirflin bread.
Mm-hmm.
Mirflin bread.
That's what's coming.
Cornlinburg. Mirflin bread is. I like Mirflin bread.
Yeah, Mirflin bread.
Well, I'll tell you, I will comment not, only to say that if...
He's going to be here at 9 o'clock. The new person's going to be here at 9 o'clock.
If El Presidente wants to comment prior to the 9 o'clock hour, he knows what the number
is. Well, he may be on the road.
Well, that's true. You don't want to, you know, making those... Make sure your hand's free, Cornbread, if you call in. Jay, how's the week going? It's been a crazy one.
No, it has been crazy. It's interesting. You know, a lot going on in Washington and a lot in our space. You know, we'll see if we have time to talk about that today. I do labor and employment work. That's what I do full time. And this president will have very, very different policies in our space than the prior administration did. And so we're ramping up for that. And, you know, in the funny way the world works, Matt, that means we'll get more work. One of the first things he did, and this was a real break in precedent, you know, of course, the president didn't really talk about him. He came in and fired the general counsel for the National Labor Relations Board. And, you know, it's a confirmed position, four-year position. He had about 10 months left in his term. And he asked him to resign. He said, no, I'm not going to resign. And he fired him, you know, just because he didn't like his policies. And I think that's maybe the first time in history that's happened. And then he fired his deputy, his number two guy. So one of the big changes.
When did this fight?
It was the day of the 20th.
So it was 2 days
first
ago.
First day.
He fired.
That afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4:30 in the afternoon.
What policies do you feel like you didn't like?
Well,
or do you know?
This is about the relationships between unions and companies, and the NLRB is the agency that enforces those laws. It's a really unusual federal agency, man. It's probably the most overtly political agency, and it's actually quasi-judicial. I mean, they actually decide cases. And it is by custom, not necessarily by statute, but by custom, there's 5 people on the board. And by custom, 3, the majority are always with the party of the president. And they have staggered terms. And so it's this odd thing, Matt, that the National Labor Relations Board, their policies follow the policies of the president. And it changes from administration to administration. I mean, imagine if federal judges did that, how odd that would be. So it changes from administration to administration, so much so that when you go back and read prior decisions from the NLRB, you have to say, well, which board decided it? Oh, well, that was the Obama board. Oh, well, okay. No, that was the Trump board. And now it's the Biden board. I mean, there's
Did Trump do the same thing?
He didn't fire. He let those terms expire, and then he put his people in.
Uh-huh.
See, that's why this guy still has some time left on his term.
Right. They're 4-year terms?
4-year terms for that position. That's right. And so that will be one of the big changes in my space from the prior administration to the current administration. That is trying to give more power to unions.
Lunch Bucket Joe. As he was known.
Just a common guy.
Lunch Pail Joe. We refer to him as Grandpa Joe Mala, lovingly. He is the president of the United States.
That's
we could also refer to him as Mr. President. He's a union man. I mean, he believes in the unions.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And on his first day in office, he, with the stroke of a pen, destroyed thousands of union jobs.
Now, when I heard Pete Buttigieg was being interviewed about that, he's like, oh, no, we're going to find him other jobs.
Okay.
No, we'll find him other jobs.
And this, of course, is the Keystone XL pipeline.
Yep. 11,000 jobs.
The previous administration gained, thanks to modern technology and thanks to an energy-first and America-first policy when it came to energy.
Right.
We have gained so-called independence.
Yeah, no, we have. For the first time that in my memory, I mean, I lived through the gas crisis of the early 70s, man, when we were queuing up at gas stations.
We are a shortages. We are a net exporter.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable.
And so, I mean, Joe Biden's got to stop that, of course. So the first day he kills... And it is fascinating to me that government moves, and this is part of my endless frustration, that government moves at a pace where, you know, Barack Obama wanted nothing to do with the Keystone XL pipeline. Donald Trump is elected president. In his first several weeks in office, I don't know exactly when it was, he moved forward with the Keystone XL pipeline. Right. Let's do this. Right. Let's make this happen. And in 4 years, we haven't gotten to the point where Joe Biden can't stop it. It's just frustrating. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, this is a pipeline to carry fracked oil, which has sand in it. And it goes, for the most part of the pipeline, it runs right alongside, guess what, Jay?
Desert.
Another pipeline.
Oh, yeah.
There's already a pipeline there. Right. They just have to carry this through a different pipe. Yeah. So they're laying pipe beside existing pipe. Right. But it somehow is going to destroy
it. One of the funny things about those oil pipelines, you know, a lot of the environmentalists, they hate it, right? Well, it turns out a lot of wildlife takes to it. They love it.
And we've seen
They come live on it, you know, and they build nests and they're sunning on it.
Right. I've seen photographs. I want to say it's a bear that's laying across it because it's warm, man. I mean, oil in there.
Yeah. So we'll see a big change in labor employment laws. Minimum wage will be part of that. I always love that discussion.
Want to ask you
and
about
I've talked about that a lot, and I have a lot of thoughts about that. And, you know, about unions, and then the environmental stuff. And now we're back to talking about boys going into girls' dressing
rooms. Oh, good gracious.
You know, wasn't it nice to go 4 years without that? You know, I was thinking about this the other day, Matt. Why do we never hear about girls wanting to go into boys' bathrooms? Shouldn't that work? I mean, you would think it would be equal each way.
Right?
I mean, statistically, it should be.
I would not.
I never hear about girls suing to go be able to go into boys' bathrooms. Mm-hmm. It's always the other way around.
You know, if all girls, I think there's a way to accomplish this. If every girl lost their sense of smell, maybe.
You know, it's funny. I have actually. We've talked about this before, and I think it's funny that the training or the socialization about going to the right bathroom is so strong. We go to the golf course, and we pull up, and they have restrooms out in the middle of the course, and there's a guys and girls. And
that's right.
And it's you and I.
Right.
And so one of us will go to the guys. The other one will sit there and wait.
Wait. Oh, I've stopped doing it.
I'm not going to the ladies' room.
I've stopped because I've thought this, and I don't think we've talked about it, but I've gone intentionally.
Into the ladies' room.
I couldn't wait, but good gracious. Yeah. It's a bathroom.
Well, I'll tell you the funniest thing, I don't know if you've seen this or not, football stadiums, bathrooms, for whatever reason, the women's lines are always much, much longer than men's lines. I guess that happens at most public places. I don't know why that is, but that's the truth. So I'm at a football stadium, and it's all backed up. So a woman just comes in to the men's room to use the bathroom.
Jay, I've told you this story before about the Biltmore. I know that if you don't remember it or if I've not related it to you, we're doing this next. Then we'll talk about $15 an hour.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about impeachment and a trial.
Okay.
All right. In that order. Plus
and
your calls can.
And then we're going to talk about racing stripes.
Yes, I know.
Racing stripes.
Stripes.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. I know you're out at the track. I saw you.
I got a train wreck coming in my life, and I want you to talk me away from it.
And I have a creature that's very upset with you.
Oh.
It feels like you're being a humanist with regard to who you let in your car and who you don't.
Oh, okay.
I'm the messenger.
I got it.
Don't blame me. All right. In that order, if we can remember it, 545-9950. Royal Betting is located in Pelham, Alabama. Tom and Ginger have been doing it for a long time, over 30 years. Good people, good community members, and just a great product. I mean, all of those things come together, and it makes me honored to relate to you how Royal Betting really changed my life, changed my sleep patterns because of the nature of the mattresses that they sell. It's that important that you get that good night's sleep. And now TJ not only can install, but he can help assist. TJ is, you know, TJ Tom Jr. He can assist you in helping pick out a mattress that's right for you. Just go by today or look up online what you think you might like, royalbettinginc.com. That's royalbettinginc.com. You can also find them on Highway 31 in Pelham. Stop by, say hello. They'll be safe and sound. They'll have their mask on and everything, so you can be secure in the knowledge that that's all good. Friends, Royal Betting makes them and sells them in Pelham, and they'd love to see you. They're the best in the business. Royal Bedding, Highway 31 in Pella.
Tried to amend my carnivorous habits. Made it nearly 7 days. Losing weight well.
All right, it's iTunes Roulette. Lots to do. Your calls. Henry, I apologize for not getting to you. But, Bo, we're coming to you with a very important discussion about mittens. Also, Aunt Myra, obviously very excited. The last weekend that she will live on planet Earth, in America, in Alabama, without a Buc-ee's around her. The Leeds Buc-ee's opening up on Monday, which is great news. 22 after the hour, Jay St. Clair. It is Floyd's iTunes Roulette.
Thank you.
And Jay?
Well, this is one of those 22% songs that I know. I can tell you everything about it. Jimmy Buffett, of course. I got Buffett in a box, you know, where you get the four CD set.
Mm-hmm.
This is one. Fins, I believe, is the name of this song. Fins. Mm-hmm. Sharks to the left, sharks to the line. That's a both. If we were in the free state of cornbread, we're not. So, toss the coin. I'm feeling John Byrd this morning. I'm going John Byrd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You should be.
Dad. Hey,
that's one of the reasons that I've never been. I mean, look, I got nothing. You know, I separate the personality of the guy with the music, but here's why I've not been that impressed with Jimmy Buffett. See, that song, it was that Fins?
Fins. No, it was Cheeseburger.
It was Cheeseburger in Paradise,
oh, was it? Okay.
Which sounded exactly like right. Fins.
I know it did.
It sounds exactly the same.
That was Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Yes.
Yeah. I could have sworn it was Fins.
I thought it was too after you said that because it sounds exactly the same. Anyway, all right. Not enough time to get to Bo. Bo, I want you to hang in there though because I want to have a spirited debate about mittens. It is never appropriate for a grown man to wear mittens ever.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
If you need mittens, you need thicker gloves. Is what you need. You don't need mittens. But Bernie Sanders wore mittens. Did you see? Have you
I
seen
did.
Some
no,
of the memes?
That's great.
Oh,
good
I mean,
for him.
All,
I mean, it's just Bernie being, he owns himself, which I like.
He's his guy.
He's very comfortable in his own skin. And there's a lot of funny people on the internet.
He reminded me of you.
Yeah.
Because you are loath to wear a hat.
Uh-huh. No, I don't wear hats.
You don't wear hats very often.
No, rarely see
it has to be on, you know. I think maybe the only time I've seen you wear a hat is on the golf course.
Yeah.
And it has to be really, really hot with the sun beating down.
Or if I'm in a race car, I wear a helmet.
Yeah, I mean, I get that.
But that's not a hat.
I get that,
I don't wear hats. I don't like it.
But Bernie wasn't wearing a hat. Mm-hmm. He had the mittens and the big old coat on, but he didn't have a hat on. All right, real quick, story about Biltmore, Indigo Girls. They have a large female following, you know, and you can figure out, you know.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of women in line at the women's room. And a lot of these are very feminist women.
Right.
And they're probably no line in the men's room. And my dainty, genteel wife, Erica, gets out of line and looks at me as I'm coming out of the men's room and said, "Is there a stall open in there?" And I said, "Yes." She goes in and uses the bathroom in the men's room. When she comes out, every woman in line is descending.
It only took one. It only took one.
Just one. That we had a camera on Jay St. Clair because I just saw from a safe and social distance.
Everybody always picking on me.
I mean, no matter what conversation we are having, no matter what's going on in Jay or my world, when the music starts, everything stops. And Jay gets his headphones on to make sure that he's listening with attention to iTunes Roulette. I hope you are as well. It is in advance of our brand new co-host, and we'll transition iTunes Roulette to us two coming up next week. Right now, it's John Byrd and myself, and Jay is the official guesser of iTunes.
Yeah, you know, 22% song, John. This is odd. This has happened for 2-3 weeks in a row where I actually know something about the music. I can't tell you the artist. I think I had this 45-hour record. I've listened to this song a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the 60s. Just couldn't tell you the yakety yak, don't talk back. No, it's different. Maybe the same band. But this, if my dear friend Floyd, I'm going to still ride his algorithms as long as I can, probably when a new person gets here that goes. And he told me that his research indicated if it's a novelty song, there's a 58.7% chance it's Matt Murphy. I think this falls in the novelty song category. Based on that alone, Matt.
Before you, John, before, is it the Coasters?
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
I wasn't sure. It's the Coasters. Okay. And you're going me?
Yep. I'm sticking with it. Okay. You tried to help me out there.
I had that 78 for years. That was, my dad loved that song. So
I did too. No, that's great.
Oh, and here's what I did. Let me tell you what I did real quick. I wrote underneath where Matt wrote the songs, and I closed my eyes, and I pointed.
Oh, so are you doing random, random? You said last week that's what you're going to do.
That's what I'm doing.
So are these the folks, same band that did Yakety Yak, Don't Talk Back?
Gold Back, yes.
Okay.
All right. Sounds, yeah.
Yep.
Sounds
similar. Same song.
Yeah. And I,
same
and
song.
I, and, you know, and I am almost positive that I had a Ronco record.
Uh-huh.
If you remember Ronco.
Oh, sure, yeah.
With Charlie Brown on it from the Coasters.
Nice. Yeah, so, you know, I know. I had
a series 45. Of. I mean, that began my enjoyment of novelty songs.
Uh-huh.
I remember there was one called Junk Food Junkie. Do you ever remember Junk Food Junkie?
Yep.
He was a health food guy at the daytime, but at night he would unlock his little and he did Big Macs. He was called Junk Food Junkie, and I couldn't tell you who sang the song. It was good though. Good. All right, calls coming up, and I know we got a list of things to get to. We struck out the Erica Biltmore story. I want to talk to you about $15 an hour, but right now, Bo has a spirited defense of mittens, and I want to give you the floor, Bo, and allow you to defend those things. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Matt?
I'm well. Thank you, sir.
Well, I tell you, you know, usually you and I see eye to eye on things, but this morning you just broke it, and
uh-oh.
I can't stand with you on this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a obviously, and I don't know really anything about your background, but I'm going to say that, like myself, you were born, raised in the South.
Yes,
correct?
Sir. That's right. I was.
Okay. All right. Well, I would have laughed at the mitten joke too, had I not lived in Chicago, Illinois for 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is a different world up there. And, you know, and Bernie being from Vermont, I can cut him some slack there.
Hmm.
And I will say this, that the best mittens out there, the ones that flip up and down, so you still have use of your fingers when you need them.
Hmm.
But, Matt, when you wake up one morning, I moved to Chicago in the springtime. Beautiful. But then later on in November, December, when you wake up and Tom Skilling says, today's high, -8,
yeah.
That's when you love the mittens. I'm telling you, my friend.
Mm. What do mittens do? And I ask this question sincerely, Bo. This is not me trying to gig you.
I don't understand it.
What do mittens offer you that thick gloves don't?
Yeah, why are they warmer than gloves?
Okay. This is what I'm not a scientist or anything like that, but
I'll just make it up.
This is what I
was just told. Do what we do.
Well, you know, you can't call me doctor if you wish. But what I was told in Chicago, and I, you know, whether it was psychological or not, I found it to be true, is that, you know, much like you take four people standing apart from each other, you bring them together, and it's warmer for all of them.
I was going to guess this. You've got a three-dog night going on right there inside that mitten. It's a four-dog night.
Yeah.
It's a four-dog night.
Right. So because the fingers are together, the warmth of each finger assists the other finger in keeping each other warm?
That's what I was told.
Hmm.
And again,
gosh, okay, I'm torn here, Bo, and I'm going to tell you why.
That makes some sense.
I'm torn because that makes sense.
It does.
But I like a good talk show host, and like this in the spirit of where we are politically in America,
don't back down.
I ain't backing down. And mitten is still stupid.
Don't you lay down on me,
I ain't laying down on it.
Don't you lay down on me, DW.
Matt, would you not listen to our president and practice unity for one time? Jeez. But I will say this, and this is my last point on the Mittens, okay? And I lived in Virginia, too, lived up in the mountains of Virginia, so I was accustomed to snow and cold weather before moving to Chicago. But Chicago in the winter is a different kind of cold on the lake. You just have to experience it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like childbirth. You know, we can talk about it all day long, but we can't experience it. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to experience childbirth to know what that's like. And you have to experience Chicago in the winter to truly understand.
It's cold,
but it is
cold. I mean, cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have been and have experienced a visit to Chicago in the wintertime. I visited my good friend Scott Stannis when he lived there, right next to Trump Tower, as a matter of fact. And yes, and until you understand cold, snow, and wind, all in combination with one another and all with the ferocity that you get in Chicago, yeah, I would agree that you don't quite understand what -8 degrees feels.
Well, man, you're right. Don't back down, but I didn't take a position on this. Bo, I love the idea of a four-dog night going on right there
in your hand.
Because you know what? There's not individual places for your toes. Socks? Mm. It's just a sock for the hand.
Well, I've never picked up a ink pen with my toes either.
well, you need to branch out.
They have those now, by the way, with the toe socks.
They have toe socks. I'll never have them.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
And Matt, also, you can flip up the good mittens. You can actually flip up, and you have use of your fingers for an ink pen or what have you when you want it. So, come on now.
Mm-hmm. Bo, my final retort to you is that they still look goofy. That's it.
I'm not going to argue that at all, but when you're facing below zero temperatures, it's all about the warmth.
Hey, function over form. Well, when it's 10 below, it's function over form.
In the spirit of Joe Biden's America, let me say that can we not all agree on this, however, Bo? Mitten or no mitten, if you are a mitten man wearing mittens, the necessity of mittens indicates to me that you ought to be wearing a dang hat.
I would agree with that, and I will also, my last point is I love the mittens, but when I came back below the Mason-Dixon line, they've been packed away. You don't need them below the Mason-Dixon line.
No. All right, good call, Bo. I'll take it all under advisement, although I'm still anti-mitten altogether.
Don't you lay down on me, DW.
Now, the reason that I cannot deny the theories that Bo presents, the scientific basis behind mittens. When I was at the Ice Bowl a couple of weekends ago, I had gloves.
Wish it had you mittens.
I had gloves, but it was cold enough where I knew that I had at the house, you've got your really winter gloves, and then you've just got your glove gloves.
Right.
And I had my glove gloves, my work gloves, and they were not enough. And I discovered that it was, if I had my hands in my coat, that my hands were warmer if they were in my coat without the gloves than they were with the gloves.
Right.
Because the gloves were preventing the hand itself to warm itself.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It's colder at racetracks. You know, Kelly Peoples, I think you know Kelly. She came out last weekend with her family, and it was cold. Saturday was cold. Wasn't so bad. But you get up on top of that race control building when the wind blowing, it's just cold, open air. And it was so great to see y'all out there, Kelly. I hope y'all had a really good time.
Saturday was cold. Which brings me to the creature that's angry at you. John Henry is not pleased with you.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wish I'd known he was there. I would have given him some hot laughs.
Yes.
We would have taken some hot laughs.
I think you would have. You've seen that tongue whacking on the side of the Corvette?
Yeah, I want to see. Going down the backstretch, I want to see a dog hanging out the window.
Uh-huh.
That would be great.
That would be good. Yeah, we slung by to say hello to Jay, and I know that you were busy.
Kelly, I think you got there right about noon. That's about when Kelly and her crew got there, and so we were up in race control and introduced them to Lucky.
Well, John Henry was very interested in seeing Lucky too. So, we might need to make that happen at some
point. I think that's a great idea.
All right, more calls coming up, and we'll find out from Jay. Here's what Here's what I'll do. I'm going to take a call before the break, but I want to ask you this question real quick because we got to clear some of these things. How many, if you had to guess, mm-hmm. how many federal employees make under $15 an hour?
I would say it is less than 1%. I can't imagine any position in the federal government. But that's not what he's doing. What he's doing is this is applying to private companies that do work under federal contracts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different world. I got a whole lot of thoughts about that as well. So he's not talking about federal employees. He's talking about a construction company that's building a project with all federal money.
Right. I mean, it includes federal employees too, though, right?
Well, I don't think he can do that by executive order. That would have to be by statute. But I'd be shocked if there's any federal employees that are getting paid less than $15. He's talking about federal contracts. So if I represent a lot of companies that have federal contracts. So let's say a construction company, man, right now, a laborer, just unskilled labor, you know, they may pay 10, 12 bucks an hour. Well, they're going to start paying a guy 15 bucks an hour, which just increases the cost of the project.
Right. So it just costs the federal government more money.
Yeah, right.
So the federal government is, in essence, paying the
whatever
gap there is.
No, absolutely.
If I'm paying my guys $12 an hour, mm-hmm. and now they're requiring $15 an hour, that's going to increase the cost of the federal contract to the point where it's ultimately the taxpayers that are paying the extra money.
It doesn't come out of the company's pocket. No, it just goes in.
Well, it never does, right? I mean, if it's a cost of doing business.
Companies don't pay taxes. They're just the processing operation.
You know, if after 21 years, if there's one thing I hope that people understand listening to this radio show, it's what you just said. That, you know, every single dollar that the federal government spends is our money, or they, you know, or it's fake money. It's either ours or fake. And companies don't pay taxes.
Yeah.
They're
just the handling company.
Right. They just move from one place to another.
They're paid either by employees, mostly by customers.
Aunt Myra is next. Hello, Aunt Myra. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Friday to everyone. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, Myra.
So I did not call to weigh in on this mitten controversy, but in the spirit of unity, because I am an anti-mitten person in general, I am a form over function. That's just the silly nature of me.
I love it.
I will have to give a hat tip to any Southerner that can reference Tom Skilling, because having grown up in the Chicago area, he's legendary as the weatherman. So, and you guys are spot on. That is butt-biting cold. See,
I've never heard that.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really cold.
Ooh, when you breathe in and your saliva freezes and your eyelashes freeze, bad. Yet and still, I always had to have fashionable little gloves because I'm prissy like that.
No, I absolutely see that about you, Myra. That's
and
funny.
No hat. And no hat ever. You know, that's just maybe earmuffs every now and again that might matter. But yeah. So I called to weigh in on the why women don't want to use men's bathrooms.
I'm very interested in what you have to say about this.
Well, it's a couple of things. First of all, we typically will have a sofa and whatnot. Our bathrooms are happy places. Uh-huh. You know, they're generally dirty.
Myra, can I interrupt real quick? Why do you want to hang out in the bathroom?
Oh, I don't, but I'm just saying.
Well, why is there a sofa in there?
Because someone might want to. You don't know. I don't know what might be going on.
I mean, you're a woman. You got any clue? I mean, why are you napping? I mean, what?
To be very candid, and can I just say this?
I've
never understood it because let me give a little story. When I worked on Wall Street, I used to get the Wall Street Journal every morning delivered to my desk. And I would loan it out because I would read it, you know, later in the day. I would loan it out until one day this gentleman that I would typically let use my Wall Street Journal, I saw him tooting out of the bathroom with it tucked under his arm forever and ever. Amen. I could never, ever let anyone else touch my Wall Street Journal because the thought of it, I'm like, oh, dear Lord, it's been sitting on the floor, God knows what. So, yeah, I'm a germaphobe.
Oh, my goodness. So you're like the bookstore in Seinfeld. That book's been flagged. It's a Seinfeld reference for those of you.
Yeah. When I tell you. Oh, so to me, the notion of, you know, God, no. Mm-mm. I could never sit on a sofa or whatnot that's in a restroom. It's just kind of icky. But that's okay. And so looping back, that's the answer. With those urinals and whatnot on the wall, mm-hmm. Lord knows I don't want to even anticipate what might all be going on the floor. It's too messy, too icky.
Are you saying we have bad aim?
I'm thinking probably as a mom of two.
Uh-huh. If you raise boys, you get it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's ours are just a happy place. You know, butterflies and birds come tie ribbons in our hair while we're primping at the sink. So it's just a happier place. That's why we don't want to be in there. Unless, of course, like E did, if there's an emergency, you know, then all bets are off. We do what we've got to do. That's when you take off the prissy hat. But, yeah, that's why, Jay.
Well, if anyone else has some advice as to why women use sofas in their bathrooms, why they need them, I'm all ears. Plus, I'm all ears for the mittens debate.
Gender privilege. I think it's gender privilege.
Well, no doubt. I mean,
because we can.
Is there any wonder that men want to come into the women's room? You guys have sofas in there.
We have sofas.
I mean, is this why it takes women longer?
Just is the mystery. We just do that to play with y'all's minds. I mean,
You know, there's a lot of gossiping going on in there. We know what's happening in there.
Comparing lipstick and all of that. It's, you know, there's a lot that has to be. This mystique does not just happen, you know, over.
Yeah, the actual going to the bathroom is just one in a long line of things that need to be accomplished in there, apparently.
Absolutely.
Okay, I get it.
There's no point for me to divulge all of our secrets here for crime. And, Jay, when the day comes where John Henry is out there on a hot lap, if I can just request that I get an invite to that, what I wouldn't give to see that.
I think Henry would dig it.
Oh, he would dig it.
He would love it.
Yeah, we'll just have to figure out the harness situation. There's one thing to adjust my harnesses so they'd fit my son. It'll be a totally different project to get that to fit.
You got to go the other way. I mean, you know, John Henry's only 115 pounds. He's a little bitty thing for that seat. Thanks, Myra, for the call. 48 after the hour, Painting Company bringing you this portion of the show. Call Peter Pastor for a scheduled appointment with the Painting Company. It won't cost you a dime. He will come out and give you that free estimate, and then you'll know. Then you'll know that the Painting Company is not as expensive as everybody else. I mean, you don't have to be the most expensive to be the best, and Peter Pastor has been proving that for well over a decade now in our community. The Painting Company, the one and only painting company that you'll hear me recommend, 995-5559. 995-5559 for the Painting Company. Jay St. Clair, extended time coming up in the 8 o'clock hour on the Matt Murphy Show on Talk 99.5 at 9 o'clock. You'll find out who you'll be hearing on Monday along with yours truly. Very excited about that. As we continue, we'll take your telephone calls on this First Amendment Freestyle Friday. It's also Floyd's iTunes Roulette this morning, and Jay St. Clair is here to guess. That's song number 3. Uh-huh. That will be the rubber match in this contest, which is tied 1-1.
Yes.
Well, that's clearly in the 78% of songs that I know absolutely nothing about. I couldn't tell you the artist. I couldn't tell you the genre. John, I could not tell you what century this song was produced.
That's what randomness does.
Well, it's worked for you. He said last week, you know, he was overthinking it and overlawyering it.
Yeah.
So it's shot in the dark, John. So I'm John Bird.
He's very, he's very excited. He's very,
well,
very excited.
That's that once every month I can take him down.
You know, it's funny, John, because I come in on Green Springs Highway, and I go through 8 traffic lights way here, and it's so random, and there's just awful. They're not synchronized. So this morning I was 4 for 8.
Oh, that's good.
On traffic lights, and I thought, well, but that doesn't bode well for iTunes Roulette. Yeah. That kind of is my pregame. So congratulations, John.
Woo!
Yeah.
Thank you.
Even a blind sow finds an acorn every now and then.
Who was that?
Flo Rida.
Flo Rida.
Huh?
Redoing an older 1970s song.
That's a Flo Murphy Rida song.
It was on the soundtrack of The Hangover. That's a great song to cut grass to.
What century was that piece of music produced?
I guess this century.
21st century?
Yeah, I think The Hangover was this century.
Don't know anything about that one.
You know, last night was a big moment. Yeah, 9:21. Yeah. So 9:21 and 21 seconds mm-hmm. was the is the 21st second of the 21st minute of the 21st hour
of the 21st day.
Of the 21st day of the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Of the 21st year.
Yeah, of the 21st century.
So that's 21 seconds, 21 minutes, 21 hours, 21 days, 21
years.
Years.
Centuries.
And centuries. So six.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, we got to wait a while before that happens.
I hope
again.
To get to say all that for 22.
Me too. Belinda, Suzanne, Ron, and David, I promise, we'll jump on it. Ron's got a question for Jay. Suzanne's got an update. Belinda, why are there couches in the women's? I want to know from Belinda why there are couches in the women's bathroom. All will be revealed next.